It's time for Prem Chat. I'm Dave O'Grady. Yes, the eagerly awaited Prem Chat show is back and we are flying like canaries to kick off 2013. Norwich City have had a mixed bag so far this season with fantastic Premier League results tangled up with a disappointing cup exit. We'll get the scoop right here on the show tonight. Remember, you can check us out on Facebook, it's The World's Talking, and on Twitter, it's at The World's Talking, without the G. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by two cracking Norwich City journalists, Michael Bailey of the Evening Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, and Pinkun.com, along with Gary Gowers, freelance journalist and columnist with MyFootballWriter.com, so you're in very good hands this evening. Michael, to start, I think Becchio to Norwich, a big move for both the player and the club, I think.
It certainly is. Obviously, Luciano Becchio gets his chance to taste the Premier League. He's scored a lot of goals at every level he's played at for Leeds. He's had a cracking time there. So it's a big chance for him at his age. And for Norwich, I think they needed a striker. They've been in the market for one, and it was the one primary target. And while Gary Hooper doesn't look like it's going to come off, and Norwich have been chasing him, I think Becchio at least gives them a real bit of extra impetus up front.
Yeah, how do you think he's going to fit in? A lot of people will be talking about, you know, maybe potential partnerships. You know, the likes of Holt is there, and we always have Wes Houlihan kind of playing in behind the striker.
Exactly, and Wes has been key to Norwich for season after season, and especially this year, he's made a real influence and had a real effect. And I think Norwich just looks so more creative, much more creative when he's on the pitch. I think what Becchio does is it probably gives Norwich and Chris Hughton a genuine partnership up front now. I'm not sure he's been entirely convinced by Simeon Jackson, so it at least gives Hughton that option. But, I mean, Becchio will probably have to bide his time a little bit. Norwich have been playing primarily with one striker up front in Grant Holt. Now, Becchio may be able to play that role as well, because I think Holt needs a hand with that. He's put in a hell of a few shifts this season already. So there's a few options for Hughton to play with. And I think the fact that Becchio will have the drive to prove himself, it'll be an added bonus for him in the club.
Yeah, a lot of pundits, Michael, are saying things like, you know, Norwich are beginning to turn things around, especially the draw with Spurs. It seemed quite promising, I think.
Yeah, I think the key thing about the Spurs draw was that for 60 minutes they played as they had been playing when they were unbeaten earlier in the season. I think they'd lost their way with that a little bit over Christmas. And obviously the defeat to Luton was a fairly shocking performance. So the best thing about that was they got back to what they had been doing, back to the good things. They've got a massive game at QPR on Saturday for both clubs. So, you know, if they can avoid defeat there, I think it just steadies the ship. And obviously a couple of extra new signings and things look a bit brighter than they were maybe doing a couple of weeks ago.
They sure do. Gary, to bring you in there on that, what do you make of the season so far? A lot of Norwich City fans were a little worried, I think, at the start when Lambert left for Villa.
You're absolutely right. The 3 years we had under Lambert were fantastic, and I think anyone who came in and followed Lambert was almost on a hiding to nothing. Albeit Chris Hughton was top of the list, and he came in, and as it happens, he has actually done a good job. But the first month of the season was fairly hairy. Michael, I'm sure, will agree. We had a very good end of September, October, beginning of November, and we went on this terrific 10-game unbeaten run. And yeah, everything in the garden looked rosy, and I think then we hit the proverbial wall. We had a terrible December, Christmas, and the early part of the new year. But yeah, I think Hughton has actually done as good a job as anyone could have done in the circumstances. I think he had a very, very difficult task to follow Paul Lambert, but I think he's done very well, actually.
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say, Gary, that he's kind of put a stamp on the team. The way we've seen him in former clubs he's managed, they seem to be playing a good brand of football, although they know how to eke out a win, which is something that, you know, a lot of clubs that had been lower table wouldn't necessarily have been able to do, but they have the grit and skill. Hughton seems to have gotten the balance right, I think.
He certainly has a different balance to the side to Lambert had. I mean, under Lambert, the team played in a very sort of cavalier fashion. We scored plenty of goals, but we also conceded several as well. Certainly under Hughton, the approach is a lot more conservative, a bit more cautious. We still try and pass the ball, but we do so in a bit more of a constructive manner. And in doing so, we haven't scored as many goals, and haven't conceded as many. So yes, the approach is right. The football is still pleasant to watch at times. I think some Canary supporters are a little bit sceptical because we're not quite as gung-ho as before, but I think that's actually what was required, and I actually think his approach has been probably just about right.
Yeah, Michael, I suppose good news. A lot of international players are in the squad now. We see Russ Martin and Robert Snodgrass. They've been named in Gordon Strachan's first Scotland squad. Ryan Bennett and Declan Rudd, they've been called up by Stuart Pearce for the England under-21 squad. We have Wes Houlihan and Anthony Pilkington in the Ireland squad. Promising.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, considering Norwich were in League One, three, four seasons ago, yeah. And there weren't many internationals about then, to be honest, but yeah, it's great. I mean, it's an indication of how far the club have risen, and as Paul Lambert used to regularly say, the players are making names for themselves. I mean, I think Wes Houlihan has made a big name for himself recently, and how he hasn't got more Ireland caps is beyond most people in this county. I think Anthony Pilkington will, I'm a bit surprised he didn't hang on for England, to be honest, because I think when he's on form, he's very difficult to deal with, and players like Debussy and Asua Koto, he sort of ran ragged recently. He has that quality, so he'll be a big plus for Ireland if he shows them what he can do. So, I mean, it's great for Norwich City. All the fans have been at a low ebb very recently, so that they know what it means to be playing in the top flight, and I think they treasure that, and they hope it continues for a long time to come.
And I think, Michael, it's probably fair to say, you know, the experience of having so many international players in the squad, we've seen what it did for Martin O'Neill's Aston Villa there 2 years ago when they, or 3 years ago when they had all those England internationals, and that it just seems to bode well. There's a good mentality, and it keeps the club kind of in a good frame of mind almost. It's as good mentally as it is physically, I suppose.
I think so. I think it proves that players are doing something right, and that's a big key. I think that there was a huge difference in John Ruddy once he got involved in the England setup, and I mean he would be called up for England now if it wasn't for his injury. He just stepped up a level, looked a truly dominating goalkeeper, and Norwich are missing him, to be honest, but I think that sort of call up and faith and playing at the very top level in terms of your own career is it can really boost you, and the more players doing that, obviously the better the effect throughout your squad.
Yeah, Gary, what do you think about Mark Bunn talking about goalkeepers? How do you think he's done? He was kind of, at the start, he seemed to be thrown in at the deep end, but I think it's probably fair to say that he's handled it quite well.
Yes, he has handled it quite well. It's a difficult one. Again, to follow Ruddy was an extremely difficult one, because, as Michael said, since he's been featured in the England scene, he's really stepped up a level, and he's looked particularly good. In terms of stature, Bunn isn't as big, and so he doesn't quite have this ability to command his penalty area in the way that Ruddy did. And I don't think probably many keepers do, to be fair. But yes, he has done well, and he had a particularly good game last night, and he made two terrific saves. And I think the arrival of Lee Kemp, because he signed Lee Kemp in the transfer window as well from Nottingham Forest, I think that probably added a little bit of a spring to his step, and his performance last night actually was terrific. And I think Mark Bunn has done well. Mark Bunn has done particularly well.
Yeah, really could have been a defeat, I suppose, to Spurs if it wasn't for a fantastic save, especially towards the end of the match. Your old manager, Gary, at Aston Villa, Paul Lambert, what do you make of this whole thing? It just doesn't seem to be working out. A lot of people will say his hands are tied.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it certainly hasn't worked out as Paul Lambert had imagined it working out. I think he had this vision that he would take on Villa a similarly low ebb to the low ebb he took Norwich on, and he was able to lift them up and obviously scale some great heights. Clearly, taking Villa on in the Premier League is not the same as taking Norwich City on in Division One or League One, and he's found it very difficult. He had a squad of highly paid, experienced players there, which is not his preferred type of squad, to be fair. He prefers to have younger players from lower leagues who he can mould into his own style, and I think to a degree he's been able to do that. He's cut the squad down and he's now left with a group of young players, and he was trying to mould into a team that plays the way that he likes it to play, but I think to try and do that at the very top level in the Premier League level is found it very difficult, and as a result they are struggling. And that's going to be a difficult few months ahead, I think, for Paul Lambert. And I'm surprised, to be fair.
Yeah, Michael, I think a lot of people will say he, Paul Lambert, is trying the almost the Norwich style of play, trying to get this Villa team to play the way Norwich did last year. But I guess they simply maybe, they have, as Gary said, all the young players, but maybe just not the quality there.
I am phenomenally surprised that Paul Lambert has not got Aston Villa going. I thought it was a decent move for him, and I thought he would get them going pretty quickly, even if he had a fairly limited budget. So I'm genuinely really surprised. He had a lot of momentum here. You know, he didn't actually... I mean, he recruited some players who had to prove themselves and who were, you know, some who were young. But he did have a nucleus of an experienced, settled squad that he built from, and that's probably not what he's got at Aston Villa, and they're lacking the leaders sort of down the spine of the team to see them through to the sort of last minute wins and the gritty determination that he had at Carrow Road. So I don't know if he's tried to do it too quickly, if he's in a hurry. He was always in a hurry here. I think that's ultimately why he left Carrow Road. So I'm genuinely surprised, because I thought it would work out for him there, and I genuinely think they're in desperate trouble this season, because I don't think they're going to spend any more money tonight either.
Yeah, the checkbook is well and truly closed at Villa Park. And Michael, before we let you go, your predictions, I suppose, for Norwich for the season. It's 14th place in the Premier League at the moment. Would the aim be the top half? Surely a relegation dogfight isn't something you guys will be involved in this year, I suppose, especially if Chris Hughton is starting to turn your Christmas bad form right around.
Well, that's it. We're almost on the knife edge. We don't know which way it's going to go at the moment. They have the only aim is to stay up. You know, they'd like to finish higher, but that is the sole purpose. With the amount of money that's going to be swimming around after this season, that is what they have to do. That will be the sole aim, and I think they will have enough to do that. It might be closer than maybe some think, but I think they'll be okay.
Gary, what do you think yourself? Will Norwich be okay? Would you agree with Michael in the sense that the main aim this year should be just to stay up? Or should you guys be maybe a little bit more ambitious and hope maybe we can get in that top half of the table?
No, I'm afraid I agree totally with Michael. The aim, to be fair, and it may sound a little negative, is 17th place upwards. With the money on offer next year with the new TV deal, we have to be there. And I think we have a seven-point cushion at the moment between us and the bottom of the league, and I think that should be enough. But I've got a feeling it's going to be a little bit tighter than many think. I think there's a couple of defeats consecutively, and we could quite easily find ourselves sort of staring into the relegation area. So I'm comfortable that we've got just enough in the tank to see us through. But I think it's going to be a little bit hairy, to be fair. I really do.
Okay, well, and it could work the other way as well, I suppose. A couple of wins and you never know where Norwich City might be going. Listen, Gary and Michael, thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
You're welcome.
No worries. Thank you, David.
And yes, you're listening to Prem Chat with myself, Dave O'Grady. That was Michael Bailey and Gary Gowers speaking about Norwich City's season so far. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by our anonymous tipster for the show. It's Mr. Chasing Profit from chasingprofit.co.uk. Now, you guys give football tips every week through your website, chasingprofit.co.uk, and your Twitter, @chasingprofit, and also your friend, @MrFootyTips.
Yes, we do. And we've also got Mr. Premium Winners as well. He tips horses as well and chips in with some football tips along the way as well.
Yeah, you guys mix it up on Twitter and on your site. A lot of banter as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I noticed about your site and your Twitter accounts and that, you cover so many leagues. I'd imagine it must be pretty hard to keep everything going with so many matches on.
It takes a lot. I mean, I spend a lot on late nights, you know, watching a lot of football, seeing where the leagues are going, studying stats and figures and that. I mean, it does become a full-time job at times, but I mean, I enjoy it. So, I mean, it's not a task, you know.
Do you ever get bored with so many games at so many times?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can be sitting there watching nil-nil draws and you're thinking you're missing opportunities, but you've got to get through it, you know. The more work you put in, the more you get out of it.
Yeah, fantastic. Fair play. We wish you the best of luck now going forward. Now, have you guys found this season so far? How has it gone? There's been a few shocks, I'd imagine. A Swansea-Bradford City final is certainly one.
It's a big one, isn't it? I mean, I think they were 50,000 to 1 before to win it. I imagine someone must have got on that. But I mean, they've done fantastically. They've really, really done well. I think they got a bit lucky coming against Villa.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a bit of bad form at the moment. I think they probably got a bit lucky getting them. But I mean, they've done well to get there and they deserve it, to be fair to them.
Yeah, from a betting point of view, when both Chelsea and Villa had lost in the first legs, a lot of people were going for Chelsea-Villa final, you know, to try and get a bit of value in that, because they were expected both teams, both Premier League sides, to come back and get the win, yeah. You know.
I don't think Rafa Benitez has really been a good appointment in that aspect. He's not very good at chasing games like that. He was like that at Liverpool as well. Always seemed to settle for a draw.
Yeah, indeed. Looking, I suppose, at the top of the table, Man United looking cruise control right now. I guess you could kind of see it against the Saints there last week when they were 1-0 down. I think everybody knew that they were still going to win the match.
Yeah, though they always have a way to get back into it, don't you? You never write them off. I mean, I think it's sewn up, really. I think they're about, are they 7 points clear now? I think they are. City aren't firing on all cylinders, really, are they? They're not hitting the form they were last year. They seem unbeatable. Well, not unbeatable, but they always find a way to win. You know?
Yeah, I suppose it was much closer at this time last year with City. I mean, we've seen United kind of winning the league, but City were always in good form and they were just kind of waiting for, as in horse racing, the final few furlongs to make their move, and they kind of did. But this year, Man United, I mean, with Robin Van Persie, they just look to be a different class.
He's been an excellent signing for them. I mean, it represented a bit of a risk, you know, with his injury record. But, I mean, he's come good for them. I think he scored about 13, 14 goals, I think, this year, 15 maybe. I mean, if they do win the league, I think it would be down to him completely.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. It's gone a bit tricky for Rafa at Chelsea, you mentioned. What's gone wrong? Is it just too many superstars in one team? He's finding it hard to get them all to gel?
I think it's the poison chalice itself, isn't it? Managers just, they can't seem to get it right there. I don't think it was the right decision getting rid of Di Matteo. When he was at Liverpool, I think he had a similar spell there. When he just started drawing in games, he seems to like settle for the draw too much and he didn't really go for it and kill off teams. And we saw that in this last game. I think they'll give him till the end of the season. I think it'd be probably a bit ludicrous not to.
Yeah, I think he probably knows, though, his goose is cooked at this stage.
Oh yeah, he must have. He didn't get any money in the transfer window, did he? I think that's probably a pretty good telltale sign that he's not going to get to you know, after the season.
It could be a little bit of a struggle for Chelsea to get Champions League this year, especially with the likes of Spurs and all knocking around them. It's going to be quite competitive up the top of the table.
There's about four teams there. I think it's Chelsea, Tottenham, Everton, Arsenal, and maybe even Liverpool as well. They're doing all right for themselves now. I mean, it's a big challenge for it, really. I mean, there's so much at stake for it. And I think if Chelsea didn't get it, it'd be a big shame, you know, with them getting it last year through winning it. But I mean, I fancy Tottenham or Arsenal to get it.
Yeah, I think Tottenham are slightly coming good under AVB. It all remains to be seen. Looking at the bottom of the table, the famous relegation dogfight, Aston Villa are in serious trouble, it's probably fair to say. Do you think they can survive?
No, I think they're going down. I think I'm going to put a bet on that, to be honest. I'm going to check the odds. They seem hopeless, to be fair. They just don't have any fight about them or anything.
A lot of Villa fans are probably wondering where the next win is going to come from.
Exactly. I think they've got Everton this weekend. I don't see them getting anything out of that game. They just don't look capable at all.
Yeah, and the match you'd expect them to have won would have been last week against Newcastle at home in Villa Park. Now, in credit to them, they did put on a bit of a show in the second half and, you know, they kind of got back into it. But it's almost like they don't have the grit. No matter how hard they work, they're going to leak those easy goals and it's not going to look good. And I mean, we've never had Aston Villa not in the top tier of English football.
No, I mean, they've been fantastic. Like 3-4 years ago, they were always knocking on the door for like UEFA Cup places, and they had a good team together. I think when they had Darren Bent, I mean, they were always doing well. They were a hard team to play, but this year, I don't know what's gone wrong. They just seem hopeless and like, you know what I mean? But I thought they were going to win against Newcastle, to be honest. I thought they'd finally get it together because Newcastle have been in pretty poor form themselves. They're knocking about at the bottom of the table as well. But yeah, I can't see them coming back from it. I think they probably will go down.
QPR now with Remy and Samba. I guess Ari really wants to prove a point.
So they've taken a gamble, haven't they, with Samba? I think he's on 100,000 a week.
Yeah, crazy money.
Someone's put the decimal point wrong there, haven't they?
What do you think? They've got a chance now.
I think they could stay up. I think they're a better team than they're showing at the moment. I think Redknapp is probably the right man to keep them up. They've made some good signings this month and they've probably done the best in January. I think they probably will stay up.
Yeah, and you mentioned Newcastle there. We've got the French connection at Newcastle. Yeah. I guess if all the players click, they should be out of trouble.
Well, they've signed enough players to do it, but whether they all gel, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, signing so many players cannot work like that. I don't think it was right to put Pardew on such a long contract as well. I think he's on a contract till 2018. If they go down, I don't know what they'll do, if they'll stick with him or, you know.
It's interesting, though, because we're looking at it halfway through the season and you believe Aston Villa are going to go down, and we're talking about Newcastle with an influx of French players, QPR with superstars like Remy and Samba and the magic that Harry can work. It is looking grim. Who would you, if you were to make initial predictions, would you say Aston Villa, Reading and maybe Southampton to go down?
I think I'd probably go with Villa, Wigan, and I'm not sure. I think I'd only go with Villa and Wigan, who had no fun. I couldn't really call the third one.
I think a lot of people would say, though, there is that Wigan will always approach that period at some stage in the season where they play this Barcelona-esque type football and they get a load of results. We've seen it the last two seasons. They just always come good at the right time.
So I feel like they've been riding the luck since they've been in the Premier League, really. I can't see them doing it again. I think they've been very lucky. I mean, they do well. They've got a good manager there. But I don't know. I just can't see them doing it again this year.
Oh, it's going to be a cracking Premier League season at the top and the bottom of the table, it's fair to say. Now, you guys will have some interesting tips now for the weekend's games. It's almost a full house of clashes in most leagues. And no doubt a few Akkas are on the cards as well.
Yeah, but we're going to put some accumulators together, I think. See where we can get some value.
Incredible. And what's the best way for people to check it out? Should they go on the site or Twitter?
Just follow us on Twitter at Chasing Profit, or just go onto the website, which is chasingprofit.co.uk. It's all through there. We always put a lot of free tips up, always there to offer our opinion, you know, on the games and that. I mean, we've got some together now, some tips.
Yeah, what would be your tip of the weekend? I know it's kind of hard because the teams, obviously the starting lineups haven't been announced yet, but if you're just to look at the initial fixtures, say in the Premier League, what way would you side?
We've picked two here. I've got Everton against Villa. I've got Everton to be willing at both half-time and full-time. That's available at evens with Betfair. Everyone's aware how poor Villa are. I just can't see them putting up any fight against Everton. And then we've got Newcastle against Chelsea, a Chelsea win. It's a bit of a risky one with Benitez, obviously not getting the team going, but everyone's like, Newcastle haven't been a good team this year. And I would imagine over 2.5 goals in that.
And I always think about Chelsea after they've had, say, a poor result during the week. I always think that they tend to bounce back with high scoring games. You always don't want to be the team that has to face Chelsea after they've really been disappointed in their previous result.
Yeah, they always seem to come back with a vengeance, don't they, really? And that's why I think over 2.5 goals, I think it's available about at 1.7, I think, and it's evens for the win. So if you can put them together as well, I think that's probably my bet of the weekend, really.
Fantastic stuff. We'll get that up on our website. Well, thanks a million, Mr. Chasing Profit, for joining us. I'm afraid we're out of time here on the Prem Chat Show. My thanks to Michael Bailey, Gary Gowers and Mr. Chasing Profit. Don't forget to follow The World's Talking on Facebook, and we're at The World's Talking without the G on Twitter. You can also mail us theworldstalking@gmail.com. For myself, Dave O'Grady, have a very good evening.